Merci.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm very delighted that we're having this meeting with the representatives of the States Party from the Committee of Human Rights. This is a crucial meeting. In fact, what I wanted to do was pick up on a question that was asked about the links that we've got in the meetings that we have with our opposite numbers regionally. And this was a question that was asked by Guatemala. And it's true, since the last dialogue that we had in 2019 with member states, this is a practice that we've brought in the committee. And the idea is that every year, even during COVID, as the chair said, we have this dialogue with judges or with commissioners of human rights bodies locally. And in October 2019, we had a meeting with judges of the European Court of Human Rights. And the idea behind this is that we'll try and harmonize and look at the interpretation that we put on the international covenant and also the European Convention on Human Rights. And in 2021, we had a meeting with judges from the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. And that was a meeting that was chaired by the former president of the court. And with them, we shared our ideas. We looked at common ground. We looked at questions that we all had because of the pandemic, because the Inter-American Court, like us, had difficulties because people were seeking derogations from the convention and also covenant. And also, we wanted to exchange good practice as well. We wanted to say that if a country is both of two instruments, a universal one and a regional one, what we're trying to do is to make sure that we can be as harmonized as possible in the responses that we give them so that we don't contradict each other when it comes to case law. And therefore, we're looking at this together with the African human rights as well. We're looking at, therefore, what we're trying to do really overall here is come up with the problem that many states have expressed to us, which is that they these universal and treaty bodies ought to work with their opposite numbers regionally and locally. And this is something that we've been trying to do since 2019. And maybe to try and pick up on the other question that was asked, this came from Angola just now, why is it that we're getting far more communications and that are coming to the Human Rights Committee? I think there are a whole array of reasons. Some of them might be structural, some of them might be one-offs. But I think what we have to try and sort of strike a positive note here, and we can say because it's become very attractive, that's the political response I'd like to give you and I'd like to believe in. But I think, and it's not just that, though, I think there is, I would say, a willingness on the part of NGOs, of victims, and they have available, as you said, a regional mechanism which works well, but there is a wish on the part of victims to use their complaint and to perhaps broaden its scope. So when you ask NGOs, why is it that you come to the Human Rights Committee? Why do you appear here when the Inter-American Commission or the Inter-American Court or the African Courts have got good case law in this and this area? And the response that we often get from them is this. They say, well, there are two types of response. So first, that with the committee, it goes more quickly. Now, despite what we think, but we can take our decisions, and that can be a lot quicker than you have with the Inter-American Commission, for example, or the Inter-American Court. And also the European Court, that's the first reason it's quicker. And the second reason is that, normally speaking, when you come to a treaty body, it means that we give it a universal dimension that it doesn't get if it just goes to a regional body. So that's a kind of response that I would give, because we have also asked this question ourselves. We've put that question to NGOs ourselves, that both of you asked us. Thank you, Chair.